episode of the Mimosas with Moms podcast. I'm your host, Abby Williams. I hope everybody is continuing to hang in there. Our anxious feelings aren't too out of control. Leave me a review and let me know if you're feeling connected and supported by this podcast, what you've been loving, what you would like to hear more of. Your feedback, seriously, just gives me so much life and it really helps this podcast grow. I could not do any of the Mimosas with Moms platforms without the love and support from each of you. So thank you for those who have been here just supporting and giving all the love, and be sure to continue doing so. I'm really excited because today I am welcoming my fellow clinician, Chastity from momfully.u. Chastity practices in Texas, but she creates amazing content both on her Instagram and her website. She helps moms mother on their own terms and redefined their identity after baby. My cheeks hurt so bad after this interview with Chastity. We were laughing so much. She is just seriously such a breath of fresh air. She's so insightful, and we laughed so much about bantering about our toddlers. Our daughters are both very close in age, and we were just laughing at how similar our stories are. And I love that about motherhood. I love how it's so connecting and how you can connect with women who are across the country but living through similar struggles as you. We are all just so much on our own journey, but there's so much connection in this journey, and I truly believe that that is our purpose here on this earth. So make sure that you go give Chastity a follow at momfully.u. Check out her website, grab her free anxiety workbook, and be sure to give this episode a 5-star review and tell your friends when you're done listening. So let's get started, mamas. So Chastity, thank you so much for joining me on the Mimosas with Moms podcast today. Kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and your platform.
Yeah, so I'm Chastity. I am a mom of two beautiful little girls. They are 13 months apart. So one is one is one and
my
a half.
My girls are 15 months apart.
You get it. Yeah. So one is one and a half and the other one is 2.5. And they keep us alive. They keep us on our toes, and you know, they are great.
So I actually had somebody at the pool a couple of weeks ago. My girls that are 15 months apart are 3 and 2. Okay. And somebody was asking me, do you like having them that close together? And it was with the eyes real big, like watching them, like, oh my goodness. I'm like, it has its pros and cons. Yes. Would you answer that question the same?
Yes, I would definitely say that it has its pros and cons. The pro was, like, my body didn't get a chance to go back. And so it's just kind of, let's keep rolling. Let's just keep rolling. And I get to pass down clothes. And it's like, once this season is over, we'll just push that aside for the next one to come along. And the fact that they're girls, you know, they can share anything. But the con is my body didn't have time to recuperate after having the first. And you get all the wild and crazy at one time, you know, all the sleepless nights all at one time. So,
I know. And I think that that is like kind of an advantage, but then kind of a disadvantage as well.
Exactly.
And then, you know, you have like a built-in best friend.
Yes.
But, ooh, do they fight?
They do.
They fight so bad. And that's what this mom was asking me at the pool with her eyes real big, because I was, you know, the younger one had something and the older one looks over and she's like, oh, man, I want that. And you just see it in her eyes.
Right.
And she goes taking off across the pool to go get it. I'm like, oh, man, here it goes.
That's right.
So they're like both hanging on to this thing and I'm like charging across the pool and I'm pulling them apart. And this lady's like, oh, my goodness. I'm like, I don't know, sisters. It's just going to be like this probably the rest of their life.
Yeah, and that's, I've come to terms with that, and that's what it's going to be.
And you're right. It keeps you alive.
Okay.
So you have these two beautiful girls keeping you busy.
Yes.
And you're a therapist.
I'm a therapist, yeah. So I see moms in all stages in my private practice called Momfully You. Yeah. And I really kind of focus on the moms who are struggling with identity, so the adjustment when it comes to motherhood, and kind of feeling lost. You know, what in the world happened to my life after I had kids or on my way to kids, right? It can start very early for some moms. And so, yeah, my practice is all online for moms in Texas, and I love being able to connect and serve moms in that way, you know?
Yeah, which I think is such a common thing that happens, and I don't think that, like, we talk about this enough. Yeah. I think this, you know, evolve that happens, you know, you're like, okay, I got married, or, you know, I want to have a baby, and you, okay, let's have this baby. Mm-hmm. And nobody even tells you that once you meet this new person that's going to come out of your body, you're also going to meet this new person that is you.
That is you.
Right?
Exactly.
And there's lots of different ways to have a baby. So if you're an adoptive mom and, you know, the evolve came that way, there is still this new person that's coming.
Exactly.
And it's you. And now what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. You know, and your ambitions in the workplace might change or your relationships with other people change, but your relationship with yourself might also change. And I think so many of us go through that. And then there's like this identity crisis that happens and it's like, I didn't even know that this was going to happen.
No, I didn't know that this was a part of the deal. I thought I was going to get this beautiful baby and just love it. And it doesn't end there,
it's
going
to be this whole, it does not. Yeah. And, you know, and now I have, so my oldest is 10. Mm-hmm. And I found that this evolve keeps happening through all these different stages of motherhood. You're like, oh my gosh, now what am I going to do? You know, now he's like on the verge of puberty. And I'm like, oh, I'm not ready. I'm not ready for this.
I need to read a book.
I need to be ahead of this. Yes. And he's going to, you know, be getting into, you know, liking boys or girls or his sexuality is coming. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do then? Oh my gosh. So it just never stops. So tell us how you kind of walk moms through these different identity crises.
Yeah. So I think it starts off with dismantling these unrealistic expectations that either we put on ourselves, what we get from society or our family or kind of these cultural norms. Yeah. Because I think it gets embedded in us and we can't, sometimes we're not aware of that. We're just like, you know, again, I'm going to have this baby and it's going to be, this is going to be my life. But we don't realize how much identity, mother identity, we take on from other moms. And we put that pressure on ourselves, but no mom is going to mom the same way.
Yeah.
Because we're all different, right? We all have our unique identities. And so I think kind of getting back to the basics, where does that come from? Are there things about the way that your mom mothered that you find to be precious to you that you want to value? Okay, what are some of those things that you don't want to incorporate in the way you mom?
Yeah.
And then being able to stick to those things and create boundaries around those those ways that you want to mother. So that, you know, you're firm in the actions that you choose. So that's the mother side of it. And then getting back to, like you said, it's this redefining of who you are. You're evolving. So things that you liked or could do pre-baby, those things might look a lot different. And so coming up brick by brick, what it looks like to be like, you know, what it looks like to be you now. Like, you know, we can grieve this old you and grieve those things that you're not able to do or that you feel like you're positioned that you have to do. But let's go ahead and build brick by brick what it looks like to be you now, today. Right. And let's love on her. Let's love on her. Let's build her confidence. Let's build her self-esteem. Let's pour into her right now today. So,
yeah. And I love what you're saying about like the grieving part, because I think that that's another stage of motherhood kind of that isn't spoken about. And, you know, it's your past self. And then if you go on to have more children, I found myself kind of having this grief process each time I bring a baby into our home, you know, and so that's been 4 times in our home.
Yes.
And, you know, it's like, it was especially hard after when I was about to have my second.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a 6-year age gap between my first and my second son, or my second child. And, you know, it just like this whole chapter with just him and I.
Yes.
And now that's over.
Yeah.
And I think so many people kind of go through this with their second child of how am I going to love another child the same way?
Yes.
And, you know, and there's all these feelings that come up. And then you kind of get like this mom guilt.
Yes.
You know, of why am I feeling like this? Yeah. Like, I know I'm going to love this baby. Mm-hmm. And thinking that, oh my gosh, am I not going to love this baby as much as I love the first one?
Exactly. How can my heart expand? Like, I knew that it expanded with the first one. I don't know if I have room. And then feeling bad about that, right? Or feeling like you're doing your other kids injustice. Like, I don't know if I have enough time or enough energy to pour into love and you the way that I know.
Which are all valid feelings
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. And let's go back to the boundaries because I think that boundaries in motherhood are so, so important.
Absolutely.
And I loved what you were saying of, you know, there's these pockets of motherhood or these inspirations that you can be pulling from, you know, whether it's your mom and there's things about your mom that she did really well. And there's things about your mom that maybe you don't want to bring with
you.
You know, there's things about your grandmother or your aunts or, you know, your mom friends. And you're kind of like filtering through. Now, how do I build my little mom toolbox, but create these boundaries of, okay, but I don't want to let these other things in.
Yeah.
How can we kind of set ourselves up for this success?
Yeah. So you're hitting it, right? So you identify what's important to you, what your value systems are. And then I like to kind of come up with these phrases or these statements to kind of come back whenever I'm faced with someone who has a different opinion than me, who has maybe experienced motherhood in a different way and that worked for them. And they want to invite me to do the same.
Right.
So I like to use statements like, yeah, that sounds like that really worked for you. And my husband and I, or my partner and I, we've decided that we're going to do it this way. Thank you though. You know, like a kind, but firm statement in your toolbox that you can kind of always go back to and refer back to. Now, sometimes depending on your personality, maybe that seems condescending to you to have that type of statement, but you're at liberty to make it what you choose, you know, what you want, what feels most aligned to you. But like having those statements that say, you know, we've decided to choose this, or we've decided that this is the way that we're going to go. You know, that sounds like it worked for you. Thank you for your insight. I have to think about that. Like, you know, these kind of statements that you can come back with, and then being confident that you don't have to give in to this argument of, well, I'm not going to do this. Well, you should. And this is why you don't have to do that. Right. You pick your sentence and you stick to it, and you can maybe even repeat it as many times as you need to, or decide to say, so I think I'm going to, let's kind of switch the subject, you know, because if it's not hitting, maybe we just should talk about something else. And be confident in that, because you have the right to mom the way that you want to and do this on your own terms. You absolutely do.
Because I think that, you know, a lot of moms that I talk to, the relationships that they struggle with the most once becoming a mother is with their own mother.
Yeah.
And I find that very interesting that, you know, like they went through that too.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, well, our children someday be going through this as well, where they're like, what the heck, mom?
Yeah.
Like you've gone through this, you know, like it's such a personal journey.
Yeah.
You're parenting your children, not me.
Yes, exactly. You know?
And, you know, and thinking of like myself with my 4 children, it's like each 4 of them are very different people, you know, one is strong and you need to be very firm with One is more sensitive and you have to be a little softer with, you know.
Yeah.
Criticizing him is going to completely unravel who he is.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of approach him a little bit different.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know if maybe this is like a generational thing.
Probably, right? Because it's like, my mom did it to me, so I'm going to do it to you. This is the only way we know how to do it, right?
Right.
And I think sometimes I would like to hope and think that it comes from a good place. I really do. And as moms, we can identify with this thought that we don't want to see our kids struggle. And so I think that some moms have that in mind when they're inviting us to mom the way that they did, because maybe in, you know, maybe their thought process behind that is, I had to learn this the hard way. And this was my way of getting through this process and this part of motherhood. So let me just help you. let me just help you before you, you know, get into that and realize that the, you know, the other side of that equals this, right? So let me just save you from your suffering. And to us, it's like, I'm not suffering. I want to do this. Like, this is a choice that we've intentionally made. And sometimes even communicating that, like, we have different views about this. Like, this is our intentions behind making these steps and making these parenting decisions. Maybe that will help. But I have to think that it comes from a good place and that they kind of want to rescue us from the suffering part of it.
That makes sense.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. So in working with moms, I'm sure that you come across a lot of different moms that are struggling with lots of different things. You know, there's the postpartum depression, there's anxiety, there's mom guilt, and you have a workbook all around moms with anxiety. Yeah. Kind of tell us about the anxiety in motherhood and how you help moms through that journey.
Yeah. So, anxiety is so very common. And I think that it kind of gets the backseat to depression, right? Everybody's talking about postpartum depression or depression in general. And nobody's really talking about how hard anxiety can hit you and completely just integrate in everything that you're doing, right?
Yeah.
And so when we're not talking about it, it can kind of get the backseat of depression. But anxiety is common because, again, you have all this pressure. This is a new role you're kind of unfamiliar with. Even if this is not your first kiddo, you're adjusting to multiple kids at this point.
Yeah.
Or maybe you've just moved, or, you know, just a lot of different factors that might come into building up this anxiety. And it can cause a lot of different things for moms, like this constant worry, whether that's, you know, am I going to keep my kids safe? Or what about daycare? What about school? And especially now with COVID.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like this baseline anxiety, but now it's
extra. I think every mom has anxiety right now. And if you don't, like, please tell me what you're doing.
I want to know too. Email me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I know. It's just kind of this constant worry about, you know, household things and roles and kids being safe. And are they learning? Are they on the right milestone? Are they sleeping okay? Like, all of these different things that can create this worry for us. And then we ruminate on those thoughts and those anxious feelings and just kind of keeps going over and over. And then that impacts the way we sleep and the way we function during the day when we're supposed to be full of energy, but, you know,
we're moms.
Were you supposed to
so
be
the full of energy baseline is a little bit lower.
Exactly. Baseline mom, you know, energy. Yep. Your kind of eating patterns are, you know, have those changed? Are you eating more than you typically do? Are you eating less than you typically do? And then this kind of irritability, right? This kind of mom rage that we talk about, it's because of that build up, like a volcano. It's this build up of all of these stressors, and then boom, all of a sudden stuff hits the fan.
A mommy meltdown.
You have a mommy meltdown, a grown up mom tantrum. You know, we can all relate to that.
And then you get the mom guilt for having the mommy meltdown.
Exactly.
And it all just keeps going.
It's like a cycle.
So, like, how do we get off of this, this roller coaster?
Yeah, I don't want to be in the cycle anymore.
Right.
If you kind of go back, if you start from the event and work your way back to see what led up to that, I think that can help, right? So I just yelled at my kids Okay, what happened right before you yelled at your kids? Well, he didn't put his shoes on before it was time for us to go. Okay, why was it important for him to do that? Well, we're going to be late for his doctor's appointment that we were just able to book because COVID, we had been having to do all these virtual visits, right? And so then you felt upset or you felt like you were going to miss the appointment, and then that would have made you feel like a bad mom. Okay, so you feel like a bad mom because of he didn't put his shoes on. That's the tracing back to the anxious thought. And identifying that that's not true. You're not a bad mom just because you might have been late for, you know, this appointment. And so right. Speaking truth to those anxious thoughts, you know, you have to come up with an alternative. And right. If you don't have an alternative to that thought, it's just going to keep going, right? So coming up with an alternative, I'm not a bad mom. I'm doing the best I can, right? Even right. If we're late for this appointment, I can call ahead. I can reschedule. I can, all of these different things that we can do as an alternative thought that will help this kind of anxious feeling, right? That lump in our chest, that explosion, yeah. Explosion of the heart rate going super fast. What are those things, those alternative routes that we can take that will decrease those anxious thoughts and feelings?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so now after I've had the mommy meltdown and now I'm sitting in the mom guilt of losing my, you know what, yes, on my kids.
Exactly.
How can I talk myself off of that ledge also of, okay, you are a human being
yes.
with emotions, and sometimes they're big emotions.
Yes.
And sometimes you don't display them appropriately.
Yes.
And that's okay.
That's okay.
And you can go to your children yes. and you can have a conversation about them mm. and you can apologize like, hey, I'm really sorry.
I'm really sorry.
Mom should not have just yelled at you like that.
Yes. Yeah. And I think doing that, it shows compassion to yourself. First of all, like I read this quote, like, you know, if you can't say it to your kids, don't say it to yourself. And that's yeah. bingo, right? That's golden. But then it also shows your kids how to regulate their own emotions, how mm-hmm. to take accountability for whenever they do something that they don't, you know, it maybe isn't right or they made a mistake about something. It's twofold, right? So being able to have that positive self-talk to yourself. I'm not a bad mom. I'm human. It's okay that I get frustrated every once in a while. I need a break. It's okay for me to ask for help. I'm not weak if I ask someone to come over and sit the kids for a little bit, right? So these positive self-talks. And then, like you said, going back and, meeting with your kids and say, hey, mommy was really frustrated when she lost it earlier when I raised my voice, but I'm so sorry. You know, I went to my room and I took a couple of deep breaths and I kind of wrote my feelings out and I feel better. You know, it shows them, huh, if mommy can do that and she's asking me when I have a tantrum to that, maybe this is a thing. Maybe I could do it too.
Maybe we're all going to like learn how to raise the next generation to be just so much more emotionally intelligent if we start doing this, you know. And I think that this critical thinking piece of looking at ourselves and really thinking about, okay, what is it that I'm missing that I need? Mm-hmm. And being able to vocalize that and move forward is just so, so important.
Yes.
And you know, that's what mothering is really, really about, I think, mm-hmm. is this modeling. You know, you're modeling these behaviors and you're teaching, you know, how to be a human being.
Yes.
And being a human means that you're going to mess up.
Yeah.
You're flawed. You're an imperfect person. But how am I going to keep on keeping on?
That's right.
But this anxiety piece, mm-hmm. you know, is so common. Yeah. And now I agree with you, especially with COVID, I think it's just completely manifested. And I was just listening to something on grief mm-hmm. and how grief is just how a lot of us are feeling right now in COVID.
Yes.
We're grieving like the loss of normalcy. And what will the world look like after this? Will it ever kind of look the same? And maybe it shouldn't look the same. There's a lot of different things going on in the world that, you know, the civil rights movement, pandemic, you know, I think that we need a lot of different changes. And but with, you know, change comes these anxious feelings.
Absolutely.
You know, so how do we kind of take care of our little mommy selves in these big times and with, you know, all the anxious mom, just everyday stuff moving forward, you know, like right now? How are we going to like really self-care right now?
Yes, because it's difficult, right?
Yeah.
Care for moms in general can be this hard thing to do.
It's really hard.
Where's the time? And
where's the energy?
Yes. If I have one, I don't have the other. But I think simple kind of practical ways that we can do now, it sounds cliche, but taking it one day at a time, right? Things are ever evolving, especially when it comes to COVID. And shoot, maybe 3 weeks ago, I was like, oh, we might just be at the end of this. We might just go back to normal.
Girl, I was like posting the exact same thing. I was like, summer, it's here. It's normal. The pool is open. The zoo is open. I mean, it looks a little different, but it's open and I'm going. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, my kids are not going back to school in the fall for sure. There's no way. And I don't know that for sure. They haven't made those announcements yet. But now I'm like back on the anxious roller coaster.
Exactly.
Like, this is never going away.
Never going away. I'm never going to get my life back. But taking it one day at a time and treating that day with the best way you can show up in that day. And maybe that looks like, I'm not going to watch the news today.
Yeah.
I'm not going to start my morning watching the news because it makes me anxious. I'm not going to participate in that today. I already know what they have to say. And I don't like it.
The numbers are bad. Not everybody's following the rules.
Exactly. So maybe that looks like, you know, not watching the news or social media.
Social media is hard right
now. Guarding your heart and yourself when it comes to social media. Social media is great in so many different aspects. You get to connect with people that you would have never, ever connected with before. You get access to knowledge and ideas and what's available, right? Across the globe. It's amazing. And you also get...
Really burn out.
I just did a live yesterday and talking about self-care when it comes to this. And I was saying nowadays, the comment sections of a lot of posts is specifically to the Black Lives Matter movement.
Right.
I don't do it. I can't do it. Immediately when I see those posts or I see like one comment that's just like, oh my gosh. My heart starts, what you talked about earlier.
I know.
Physical sense. My heart starts beating fast. I get upset and maybe later I have a headache from just kind of reading all of these things. And so that's my social media boundary. I'm not reading the comments right now. I'm not doing it.
Right.
And aligning with pages that you feel filled by visiting their page and not ones that deplete you. So if that's unfollowing that page or just putting it on hold for right now, whatever it is that, you know, feels more aligned to where you are in this moment, and giving yourself grace, right? We are not in the normal. So quote unquote, normal routine, that's out the window. That is out the window. And pressuring yourself to, okay, so I have to have this type of meal. I have to have this type of schedule. We cannot watch no more than 2 hours of, you know, media time. You know, we can't do this. We have to be in bed by this and all, you know, all the structure, which structure is good, right?
Yeah.
But now structure can be another stressor. You know,
I know.
Any particular thing can be another stressor. Not having media time can be another stressor. And so giving yourself grace to switch it up.
Yeah.
And do the best you can and show up the best you can each day. That's all you can do. I feel like that's,
I know,
that's all we can do.
Cause I'm kind of noticing that in myself, you know, it's kind of like different, like week to week, what's working for me. I feel like I identify mostly as like a stay at home mom right now in my season of motherhood. I work very, very part time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some weeks I'm like, okay, we're like, go, go, go. Yeah. This is so much fun. I feel so full.
And then other weeks I'm like, oh my gosh, if I like go one more place, lose it. I can't. I just like, I can't keep going.
Yeah.
You know, I need to slow down this week. And yeah, it is. It's just very different. And I feel like, you know, I can't like put myself into a schedule, which is not like me.
Yeah.
You know, I think I'm a very type A person. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm, I don't know, like, who am I right now? You know,
you're like, I have an identity crisis. Exactly. I do.
Yeah, I'm having this identity crisis again. Like, you know, I used to be so type A and such a planner. And I'm like, if I have a plan, I'm just going to unravel. I can't. Like, I got to do it minute by minute sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, check in on myself. Yeah. Like, okay.
Yeah. And recognizing that it's okay to have this temporary shift or this temporary pivot. And like you said earlier, we don't know what the world post-COVID will look like. We have no idea. We've never done this before. And so it's going to feel different, and it may not ever get back to quote unquote normal.
Yeah.
And so that will cause us to do another pivot and another adjustment, another change. Yeah. But, times tell us that we can do this. It's hard to do it. It's annoying to do it. But we can do it, right?
I know.
We
and nothing good, like, you know, comes without this change.
Yeah.
You know, I think that change and evolve, it's part of life, you know? You go through these seasons of life and these changes and these grieving and evolves and these new perspectives. Mm-hmm. But, like, what would be the point if we weren't doing all of that, you know? Yeah. So, I don't know. I have hope some days, and then there's other days where I read the comment sections and I'm like, oh my gosh, nothing's ever going to change in this world.
Exactly. That's why I need my hope, because that's the only thing that keeps the same most days, right? It's the hope that things with any situation, the hope that my anxiety will decrease and be more manageable.
Yeah.
The hope that I will get my identity back postpartum, you know, post after having kids, like, you know, this hope that the world will change for the better, this hope that COVID will not completely ruin us.
I'm just like hoping that we're going to come out of 2020 and all the things that are happening this year with more empathy, compassion for other people, you know, and just like, let's help each other.
Yes.
Let's just help each other. You know, our elderly neighbor that needs toilet paper during COVID and can't go out, you know, because he's vulnerable. Yes. Let's help each other. Yes. You know, the Black Lives Matter movement. Yes. Let's help each other.
Yes.
I don't know. But I do. I think hopefully there's some hope out there.
Yeah.
So tell us, you have this free anxiety workbook.
Mm-hmm.
People can go to your website and sign up and get the free workbook.
Yes.
What will they get out of the workbook?
So my website is www.momfullyyou.com. And it should be under the resource tab, but it can also be accessed through a pop-up. You go on there and be like, hey, here I am. Sign up. in that workbook, it's going to kind of briefly discuss what anxiety is and what those anxious thoughts come from. And then it's also going to kind of do that chain thing we talked about earlier, like what built up to having this anxious thought. And then it's going to address the opposite of what that thought would look like. In addressing those belief systems that come from those anxious thoughts, and what can we think instead? What can we believe instead? And it's filled with lots of beautiful feeling words. So if you don't have all the words and all the feels, it's on there so you can quickly identify, oh yeah, that's exactly what I felt, you know, before I had this thought.
And that's really important to go learn.
Yes. And to see it. And sometimes that's what you just need to do is see it, right? Yeah. To be able to do that. And then the feeling words are also there. It's like, what do I want to feel? Instead of anxious, what do I want to feel? Do I want to feel hopeful? Do I want to feel at peace? Like, what is the opposite feeling of that? And so it walks you through that. It's a 9-page workbook that walks you through that process. And you can apply it to multiple different examples and multiple different thoughts throughout, you know, your anxious journey or, you know, what's going on.
I love that. And Chastity, where else can my listeners find you? You hang out a lot on Instagram and you are creating some amazing content. I love your content. I love following you. So tell everyone where they can find you.
Yes. So on Instagram, you can follow me at momfully.you. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much the only social media platform I'm on right now. Everything else is too bad.
I love Instagram though. You know, I'm on Facebook too, but I pretty much just like upload all my Instagram stuff just goes there. Exactly. I don't do anything over there.
Yeah.
And then Twitter, I'm like, I'm too scared. I'm too scared of Twitter. I don't know. It's a different feel over there.
And it's the same with Facebook. It's a different feel on Facebook. I like Instagram.
Yeah.
It's easy for my non-tech side to get a hold of how to get everything out there. And I love it. I love being able to, like you said, create the content and engage with folks. And
you know, your content is amazing. You're doing a really good job. And I know creating content is a lot of work.
It is.
So it is a labor of love. You're right. Well, Chastity, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody go give her a follow, go find her anxiety workbook, and cheers to redefining motherhood.
Yes. Thank you.